This is a Triple J podcast.
There might be some shock first. There might be denial. You might be angry, you know, kind of disconnection, low mood before we get to acceptance.
Hello, Dee with you for the Hookup Podcast, where we talk all things love, sex, dating, and relationships. And recently we did a massive episode where we heard from you all about breakups and all the ways that you have found helped you get over someone. We got so many incredible tips from you and some great advice, but I thought let's take this conversation a little bit further and chat to an expert in this space and someone who can give us a bit more advice around how to heal after heartbreak and what to do as well if you are, you know, dating again and have got your walls up and are worried about getting hurt. This was actually a DM that we got around this. Someone said, I'd love some advice on something I've been experiencing with dating and relationships. I was in an 8-year relationship and ended it 5 months before we were due to get married. I then dated someone for a year who I had incredible chemistry with and genuinely loved, but it ultimately didn't work because we weren't compatible. That breakup really hurt me. It's now been 8 months and I've dated several people. Almost every person has said in some way that I'm difficult to connect with because I don't really open up. I'm friendly and can have great conversations, but I've realized what I share is very curated and I keep things quite surface level. I think I've subconsciously built walls to protect myself from being hurt again. How do you learn to open up and trust people after heartbreak? So this is definitely something that I think so many of us can relate to, and I want to, you know, unpack that a lot more and get them some help. And to do that with us today is Dr. Marnie Lishman, a doctor of psychology and a therapist, and also the author of her new book, Only You, The Unexpected Gift of Being Alone. Dr. Marnie Lishman, thank you so much for coming on The Hookup.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I do want to talk about that DM that we got, but before that, I want to talk about how much heartbreak fucking hurts and why.
I know.
Why is it something that genuinely feels like physical pain sometimes? Like, why is heartbreak one of the, you know, worst things that we can ever experience?
Oh, exactly. And this is the thing, you know, the brain doesn't distinguish between, you know, like a heartbreak and like a broken bone of sorts. You know, so if something's broken, it really kind of hones in on that. So that's why it's so incredibly painful. But I also think, you know, part of what makes it hurt is it's not just the sadness. It's like this hot pot of emotions, isn't it? And it hits you all at once. So it's almost like you're this hot pot of emotions just sitting there in a bunch of chemicals and trying to make sense of it all. So it might be, you know, you got stress because your safety and your routine has been kind of pulled out from under you. You're anxious because, you know, the future that you might have mapped out with that person is not there anymore. You might be angry, and I think a lot of us know what that feels like, you know, kind of tied in with a broken heart. There's probably confusion, there's grief, there's disillusionment, there's so much happening. And of course, with those kind of chemicals kind of going around your body, it's physically overwhelming, and that's why it's so painful.
Yeah, I remember my first breakup, I genuinely felt like my heart, I could feel it. Like I felt like my heart was breaking.
Yeah.
And it felt physically painful. Do you think, Marnie, that the first heartbreak we go through is the worst one? Or do you think it's entirely dependent on the type of relationship and what the loss actually means?
Yeah, I think the first one sometimes feels like the first one, but that's all you've got. You know, that's all you've got to go on, isn't it? Until the second one happens. So, but I don't think we can really rank them at all because there's so many variables, isn't there? The first heartbreak often hurts because we have no reference point at all. All you're doing is just trying to survive it. So it can feel kind of endless and confusing. But then I've sat with clients before whose, you know, kind of 10th heartbreak completely wiped them out. And, you know, sometimes it's not just because of the person, it's because of what the relationship represents. So, you know, they might have been married or had children, or, you know, there might have been the length of time, you know, because their identity is often tied in with that person. So, you know, there's too many variables to even rank, you know, which heartbreak's the worst. It's different for everyone.
Yeah. And I guess as well, like something we heard in our Tuesday episode was sometimes a situationship heartbreak can hurt more than like a 10-year relationship ending because you've kind of mourned already, maybe the breakup, and the situationship breakup hurts because you're like, oh, but we didn't even get to have the relationship. Like you're mourning the potential.
Exactly. And you know, there's relationships as well where it's almost like you've had a crush on someone for a long time before you even get together. And so you've almost like fell in love with the idea of that person rather than the reality. So the grief around that is, you know, is huge for lots of people.
We also spoke about the time frame and whether or not there should be a time frame on getting over someone. What do you think?
Oh, it's such a hard one because I think, you know, people want an answer like this feels terrible. Please tell me when it's got to stop, type of thing. I need to get on with my life. But there's no time frame. So I really kind of push back on that, you know, some of the advice out there that, you know, says, you know, you were with this person for X amount of years, that means this many months it's going to take to, you know, get over that person. So, you know, that kind of formula always ignores everything. So I think you just got to kind of go with the flow and not push it. It just takes what it takes.
Have you found, Marnie, in your work and the clients you've spoken to, that men and women deal with breakups differently?
I mean, I feel like men and women deal with lots of things differently. So, I mean, again, there's so many factors. And I always find, you know, when I'm talking about one particular thing, say for heartbreak, there's so many other factors involved, isn't there, in terms of who that person is, how they normally cope with stress, how they normally cope with anxiety, you know, what else is going on in their life, how much support they have. I think if we kind of, you know, are a bit more general about it, I think sometimes women are a little bit better in that. They'll talk about it more. They'll reach out to their friends a little bit more. They're probably sometimes better at self-care and more healthy coping mechanisms than guys are. Guys kind of just skip over it probably a little bit too quickly, in my opinion. And I'd rather them, you know, sit and do some work on themselves and process it a little bit more. But again, I'm being very
Yeah,
general because everyone's different.
totally, totally. And I think this is something you've spoken about on the hookup before, around like these are things you're brought up kind of learning about your gender, right? Like it's kind of these notions around like, yeah, girls talk and sit in groups and guys play football or whatever. We will get some great advice from you as well around how to heal in a sec. But I do want to know, you were talking about like, you know, in the initial stages of heartbreak, there's so many emotions kind of going through you. Do you think that over time, though, we go through different phases, kind of like grief?
Yes, definitely. And I think we've all, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you know, they've gone through many of the stages of grief, but they're not always in the same order. So, you know, like sometimes if someone's, you know, kind of broken up with you, you know, there might be some shock first, there might be denial, you might be angry, you know, you try and go back and forth with them. So there's that element of bargaining because essentially it's loss, isn't it, that we're experiencing in the moment. And there might be a kind of a period of like depressive like symptoms, you know, kind of disconnection, low mood before we get to acceptance. So I think, again, no textbook length of time for this, but I think, yeah, we go back and forth. You might even be angry straight away rather than in shock. So, you know, I definitely think there's the phases that go with a broken heart, just like any sort of loss.
Well, let's get your expert advice. What is the first thing you would recommend someone do after a breakup?
I feel like we kind of just got to do whatever we feel like doing. So I think we have to protect our nervous system before doing anything like processing or, you know, all of that sort of stuff that I guess a therapist would tell you to do after a breakup. You've just got to kind of protect yourself first. Like the first couple of days, even like a week, sometimes we're kind of numb, you know, like if we're going through those stages of grief, you don't know if you're going to be angry. You don't know if you're going to be in denial. You don't know if you're just going to, you know, be under the doona and not want to speak to anyone. You've got to almost allow those things to happen first. So I think that's the big one is, you know, you might feel like talking to your mates and just talking about it nonstop. You might want to be in your bed all day. I think you just got to allow yourself to do that before the next steps and be kind to yourself while you're doing it.
Absolutely. Is it better to go no contact, do you think, or to slowly, like, is the bargaining thing, like, slowly kind of wean off each other and deal with the reality of it?
I think we need some self-compassion if we keep texting back and forth. So I'm not going to judge anyone who does that, but I think it is better for the no contact because it's just cleaner and clearer, isn't it? Because I think if we start weaning, it's like the brain gets a little bit confused because you kind of back forth, you know, hope might, you know, kind of jump in there. You might get a bit of a dopamine hit because you're looking into words that, you know, might not have the meaning that you have. So I think that kind of cleaner, no contact period is probably better for you to kind of get through what you need to get through.
Yeah, I love that. So, okay, you've had the breakup, you're letting your nervous system kind of take control. You're doing the thing that you need, whatever it is. Maybe it's eating the ice cream. Maybe it's crying. Maybe it's yelling. Maybe it's talking to your friends. Maybe it's running, whatever it is.
Yes.
Maybe it's partying. I feel like my immediate response was partying.
Yes.
How do you recommend getting into your feelings? And do you think it's important to do that and really try and process them?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, it's kind of the natural next step, isn't it? So if you're a person that is going through a breakup and you're just like, stuff it, I'm just going out raging with my friends and I'm just going to party, like, you know, in the kind of coming down of that, that's where you start feeling. So that's why those kind of first moments of breakup are really important, where you just have to do what you feel like doing, going out with your friends, watching the saddest movie, you know, that you possibly can, just to kind of wallow and almost validate how you're feeling. And then after that, there's kind of something kind of, I don't know, kind of cathartic does start happening, where some other feelings start cropping up and you can actually feel them. And I think, again, watching them, allowing them to come out, and this could take sometimes weeks, months, you know, sometimes it's like years later, particularly people who haven't felt their emotions enough, it comes biting them on the bum for some reason, you know, from some memory that pops up. So I think feeling your feels is just allowing rather than suppressing.
What do you recommend is the best way to do that? Is it like talking it out? Is it journaling? Because I think for so many of us, like, sometimes we don't really know how to process our feelings, or it feels uncomfortable.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, for me, as someone who's worked with people going through this and trying to navigate it, you know, I often work with people who want to talk it out, because I think talking, debriefing, you know, getting someone to kind of counsel you through it actually helps you process all those emotions that actually happen. But there's many people who don't want to talk about it. So, and I think that's, you know, okay as well, but you still have to get it out somehow. So we often say to people, write, journal. It's so cathartic. You would know that, you know, like writing helps you process things and uncover things, and almost you find thoughts behind, you know, other thoughts. I think a lot of people kind of just try and busy themselves and forget that there's kind of our initial thoughts we have about things, but then there's thoughts behind the thoughts, isn't there? So writing it out, you don't know what's behind each thing you're thinking. So, you know, writing is incredibly cathartic and also very therapeutic. Yeah, so I think that's a big one. Other times it's just like you might just be sitting with your friends or sitting or going for a walk in nature, where you're just allowing whatever thoughts and feelings to come without any judgment. You're just kind of, you know, just going with the flow and not kind of making anything happen. And I find sometimes when you do that, some kind of meaning making happens without you forcing it, which I think is a nice thing to do.
Yeah, I love that, like going for like long walks in nature or the beach and taking your phone away and actually just allowing yourself to feel it.
Exactly, exactly. And also sometimes without, you know, it's great to have your friends and your family, but sometimes not having their opinions is nice as well for you to kind of figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. And would you say, because you mentioned before, Marnie, that sometimes it can come back to bite your butt later. Like, what have you seen happen psychologically for people who do try to avoid those big emotions?
Yeah. Well, you know, our brain is taking in so much information every day, millions of pieces of information, and it's amazing how we can get triggered, isn't it, by different things. We might hear a lyric in a song or watch something in a movie, or we might start dating again and someone might say something or behave in a particular way. And at some level of consciousness, our brain just goes into kind of this other kind of state. And I think when we haven't processed our emotions, you know, in the moment or relatively around the moment, weeks, months later, it could come back any time because you haven't really processed it all and kind of really dug in to find what the meaning was with that, or, you know, what went wrong, what went right. You haven't evaluated it of sorts. So I think, you know, it can happen 5 years later, 10 years later, and it can affect, you know, your relationships with and interactions with other people. And it also can stop you from meeting someone who's a better match, perhaps, as well.
Yeah, I want to chat about dating again as well in a sec. But what are your thoughts on doing some sort of symbolic thing like a divorce party? I've seen this really popping up in my feed lately where, you know, this video went viral of this guy recently who was like 2 year anniversary of his wedding, and then he took his ring and he like went with his friends to the ocean and like threw it into the ocean. And I've seen friends have divorce parties. And
yes.
What are your thoughts around creating some sort of like before or after, some symbolic meaning around the breakup?
I think I'm all for these sorts of symbolic rituals. I think, you know, there's lots of things that we don't celebrate enough, and I think we need closure as well. So psychologically, I think when there's an end point to something in our life, we have to kind of stop and acknowledge it. So I'm all for that, but I would just make sure, I guess, you're doing it for the right reasons. If it is for kind of, this is the last, this is a new phase, this is closed off, I think that's a good thing. But if it's more for performance or for an Instagram post or to kind of show off to your friends, you know, that's more performative, I don't think it's that helpful.
I feel like that could be so many things on social media. It's like such a slippery slope, isn't it?
I know. But if it's a private thing, you know, it's a private thing and you got your close people, or if it's something that you want to do yourself that marks that ending, I think that's a nice thing.
When do you think is the right time to start dating again, Marnie?
Oh, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because we've talked about time frames before and there's no kind of one size fits all approach. So I don't think it's about, you know, have I been kind of single long enough, or is it long enough since I've, you know, had my heart broken? I think it's more about the kind of looking forward. And if you meet someone, it's more about, oh, I'm interested in this person and getting to know them. I'm more curious. So I think if you're dating again because you're trying to get over something from the past, rather than thinking forward to the future, I think it's more healthy to be looking forward. And if you're interested in a particular person, you're like, oh, you know, he looks good. Or I think that's the difference, is am I doing this to get over the past, or am I doing this to embrace the future?
Then let me guess, you're not a fan of the get under someone else to get over someone.
Not unless you really want to, if you're curious. This is the thing, isn't it? Sometimes I think it's a distraction, and I think sometimes we need a really good distraction. So I think that's fine. No judgment from me. I think funsies is good, but I think if you're looking for something that's at a deeper level, you just got to be careful.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And communicate as well, and tell, don't use people, you know, like let them know where your head's at. But I've seen that happen a lot on dating apps. Like people will be like, oh, I've just got out of a breakup, like I'm not looking for anything serious. And then, you know.
Perfect. Be transparent as you possibly can, because, you know, then you'll find a funsies match, which is, I think, is great. You know, if you want that's wonderful, and it's a form of self-care as well. But yeah, if you're just doing it for other reasons to try and get over someone else, that's not particularly helpful for the other person, but also for you as well in the long run in particular.
Let's go back to that DM. It was anonymous, but let's just call them Cara. I just made up that name on the spot.
Okay.
what's your advice for Cara around dating again, but everyone's saying, you know, that she's difficult to connect with, she doesn't really open up. So her questions were around, like, how do you learn to open up and trust someone after heartbreak? And is vulnerability something you have to consciously work on? Or do you think you naturally open up when you meet the right person? What do you think, Marnie?
Yeah, it's a bit of everything there. I think she talked about that kind of built a wall around her. And I just think our brains are awesome and they're there to protect us. So our brain remembers anything that has physically and psychologically harmed us in the past. So I think it will err on the side of caution in our future because it remembers stuff. So it's trying to protect you. So we have to kind of, you know, remember that that's what it's doing first and foremost. But I think as long as you know it's there, so if you consciously know that, yeah, your brain is actually overprotecting you, you can kind of go into new relationships and kind of, you know, intuitively suss it out. Because I think when we've gone through some tough experiences as well, we're more intuitive in the future. So use that for good. You know, if your brain keeps that wall down, kind of wall up for a reason, you know, maybe that person is not the right person for you. Whereas other times you'll feel some little bricks getting taken down. And as long as you're open and honest and transparent with a new person and letting them know that you're fearful or you're uncertain or you've had a bad breakup in the past and you're, you know, you're worried and your brain's protecting you, you'll know by that person's response whether they're worth bringing down some more bricks for. You know, so use it as a guide, but then take control of it.
Yeah. And like, the right person will hopefully be patient and understanding, right? Like, breakups exactly. are really tough, and having your trust or your heart broken, it can take a while to rebuild.
Exactly. But when we're in touch with our emotions and we know why we feel a certain way and what happened, and we've done that kind of, when we've dug through that emotional baggage that we're often carrying after a relationship, if you know what's in the baggage, you know what it's in, and you put it all on the table, and not all of it you'll have worked through. But if you can just kind of say to someone new, you know, I'm still having trouble with this, this is what happened before, you know, and I'm still kind of in a healing process, that person's reaction will always tell you what's going to happen next. So use that.
Do you recommend for Cara as well, like we were kind of talking about, obviously, if you have walls up, there might be still some stuff that you yes. do need to process, and like finding a way to do that?
Yeah, definitely. If you keep getting kind of feedback from other people that you're closed off or you're not vulnerable enough or, you know, I don't know what's going on in that head of yours type of comments, you know, make sure you talk to someone, you know, because I sometimes think when we don't talk to, say, a mental health professional like a psychologist or a counsellor or a therapist, we're just stirring things in our own heads, aren't we? And have very unhelpful thinking styles and old, you know, limiting beliefs that we haven't worked on that could be really limiting our potential and stopping us from living a fulfilling life. So I always think, you know, I think every single person needs to see a mental health professional because, you know, it just helps not only debrief, but, you know, can get to the core of some of the things that we're doing that are not particularly helpful to us. So I always urge people to talk to other people.
And Marnie, something that we talked about in the Tuesday episode was how at the end of the day, sometimes breakups can be actually really good for you. Some of the things that we spoke about was that people realized they wanted to move overseas, or they realized they wanted to study a new thing, or they feel like that kind of like the phoenix coming out of the ashes, they got to discover yes. like a new version of themselves. Mm. You've kind of written a book all about this, talking about like being alone and the unexpected gift of this. What have you yes. found around what's come out of breakups and being single
yeah,
again?
Yeah. I often think some of the most hardest things that we actually say to ourselves, I never want to go through that. Some of the hardest things that we go through in life are often the catalyst for massive amounts of personal growth for us, but we try and avoid it at all costs. So I think, you know, that's why I really wanted to write this book, to kind of say, hey, you know, I've worked with many, many people and even gone through it myself, where I found myself alone, something that I didn't want, and I resisted it like everybody does, because I found it incredibly uncomfortable and, you know, sad and anxiety provoking and disillusioned and confused and all those sorts of things. But what I found is that after a period of time of dating and all the things that we do, if I started engaging in other areas of my life and nurturing myself, I found out who I actually am without the influence of other people, and it was a different person than I was before. So I noticed that a lot of people that I worked with were rushing through the alone period far too quickly, and they were out dating really quickly and, you know, kind of hooking up or getting married very quickly because the alone felt too uncomfortable. And I felt, oh, you know, what you're doing there is sometimes not unpacking the emotional baggage from the past relationship and you're bringing it into the new ones, because these people were finding, you know, the same problems were popping up again. So I just wanted people to understand that alone time doesn't have to mean lonely. it's a time of change for you, so that you're a better version of yourself than you were before.
I love that so much. I have, you know, definitely seen friends go through that and people I love who, and we all do it. Like, it's something that we just, like you said, run away from. We don't want to actually face the feeling, uncomfortableness of having to sit with ourselves and really grapple with that. And so, I've kind of seen people go from relationship to relationship. Yes. And I'm like, I don't know if you actually fully know who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. Just embrace the alone time and find out who you are without other people.
I love it, Marnie. Thank you so much. This will be so helpful for so many people. And we'll put all the details of your book and where people can find you in our show notes. But thank you so much for having the chat and taking the time.
Thank you so much, Dee.